Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to start out there this evening, and then we'll move to several other portions of Scripture. And I appreciate you bringing your Bibles tonight and being faithful to the house of God. Jeremiah 29, entitled the message, My Pursuit of God. My Pursuit of God. I don't know how your pursuit is going. I know how mine is going, and I know it can improve quite a bit. And so just thinking about this evening, again, I preface it with, there's a fantastic book put out, many, many decades ago, I think back in the 40s, by a man named A.W. Tozer, and it's entitled The Pursuit of God. Anyone ever read that book? You know, several have. Oh, okay, good. Several of you have. I'd encourage you, if you can, get your hand on a copy of that. It is a fantastic read, and it is such a blessing. And then, obviously, I got the whole idea and everything out of that. But just looking, kind of bringing it home here, bringing it down to my level, at least for me, looking at my pursuit of God. What did that mean? Now, notice Jeremiah 29, and we're going to be there in verse 11, if you will. In verse 11, he says, "For I know the thoughts, notice, that I think toward you, that saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Now the context here, you know, I'm sure, is that of God speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. And he expressly says to them, if you will, what? Come back. If you will call unto me. Now Jeremiah mentions this again and he says, you call unto me. I will answer you and show you a great and mighty things which you know not. So again, he's mentioning here, but he notice what he says. You seek me. If you seek me, you will find. If you search, you'll find. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Our pursuit of God is a wonderful, wonderful journey. It's a wonderful adventure because we go forward. Now, God, we know, works, as we talked about before. He's working in our lives 24/7. We did not wake up one morning and go, man, I've got to search for God. No. God was at work in our lives, wasn't he? He was at work. He was working around us. He was working in us. He was working through relationships, through trials or tragedies. And he's getting our attention. Now we come back to the wonderful grace and mercy of God that he would do that. Now this here, he's talking to the nation of Israel and telling them, if you turn back, if you call unto me, I will answer you. The wonderful truth about our pursuit of God, number one, is that God answers us. This is something so precious, and it's given really, again, in the prodigal son story, that before the son even gets, not even halfway, what happens? The father looks out and sees him and goes, well, let's see. He's got some answering to do. When he gets here, I need to talk to him. No, what's he do? He runs, doesn't he? Meets him more than halfway, and he comes to the son and puts his arms around him, says, son, I missed you, you know. On and on. Wonderful picture for us to see that God meets us more than halfway. You think back maybe to your salvation experience. Remember those days when you first really came to know the Lord? You think about that. Oh, I think about how foolish I was, the ideas I had. Well, I'll do this and I'm super spiritual. And you naturally kind of fall into that Pharisaical kind of spirit right off the bat. We have to learn. We have to go through a lot of education and other things and experience, we know. But how gracious God was to us and how he pursued us. It's a wonderful thing. So our pursuit of God, as I said, is first God pursuing us. God is truly pursuing us. This nation, as you understand and know, the nation of Israel was in a horrible situation. Not only had Isaiah spoken repeatedly, but in this case, Jeremiah, and we'll see later, Ezekiel and Daniel, and all the minor prophets, they were saying, listen, if you'll just turn back to God, he'll listen and he'll hear you. Isn't that what we preach today? If you'll turn back and if you'll obey and hear the word and the gospel, God will hear. But what does man say? No, thank you. The fool has said in his heart, no, thank you. There is no God. The number one religion today in America, as well as I could say the world, is that of humanism, which is what? Man is his own God, isn't it? I'll make myself my God. And by the way, every false idol is that. Because man doesn't want to follow God's rules, he says, I'll make up my own rules. Therefore, I'll make up my own God. And my God lets me do everything I want to do. And my God lets me have pleasure where I want to have pleasure. And lets me carouse around with who I want to carouse around with. And lets me do things I want to do. So we see here and find out. God says, I'm pursuing you. Now I ask you tonight, how is your pursuit of God? What does it mean to pursue God? We'll see that here in this first message, and hopefully over the next few weeks, look at our pursuit of God. First of all, I want to say there's a true desire to want to know God and love God. Now, let's go to the New Testament here in Matthew 22, if you don't mind turning. Matthew 22, we'll go to several portions of Scripture here this evening. And Matthew 22 and verse 37, let's go to verse 34, Verse 34, for get a little context, he says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Trick question, eh? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, what? Hang all the law and the prophets. And Jesus says, if you get this one down, you won't have trouble with the others. If you get this down, if you love me with everything, you won't have a problem with adultery. You won't have a problem with stealing. You won't have a problem with killing. You won't have a problem with disobeying your parents. You won't have a problem with worshiping a false idol. What? Why? Because God or the Lord is number one. So let me say it starts with a desire, a pursuit. I want to love God. I want to love Him and know Him. Now, this is what we emphasize to people when we share the gospel, and I hope you do too. I don't have one in my pocket here. We hand out a gospel tract. We say, ma'am or sir, have you ever thought about that? No, I haven't really. We say, well, there's coming a day, you know this, when you're going to pass off this earth. Do you know where you're going to go? And most people say, oh, yeah, no, I haven't thought about that. Or the next one would be, I don't believe in the afterlife. And I try and share the scripture with them. Well, let me show you how you can know. How you can know. And one of the areas you go to is that God so loved, there it is, the world, right, that He gave His only begotten Son. He died on the cross. So if God is willing to do that for you and for me, boy, what's coming back? I want to return that love. Somebody does something nice for you and you're not a narcissistic weirdo. You want to do something back, right? You want to do something back to them or for them. If somebody loves you and gives you some kind of gift or gives you something like that, you want to bring that back to them. You want to say, you know what, they did something to me. They were such a blessing to me. I want to give that back. Now, this is what we understand here. And Jesus says to this individual, a lawyer, watch out for those lawyers, amen. He says what? Here's the great commandment. Love God. Love Him. And love your neighbor. There it is. Notice that. See how it flows down the line? Hangs all the rest. Let me move quickly here. Not only our desire to love God and know God, but notice we need to delight in God. Psalm 37:4, you don't have to turn there. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, a lot of people use this to say, oh, see, I want God to give me everything I want. That's not what it says. When you delight yourself in Him, your will becomes His will. His will becomes your will, vice versa. We delight. We find delight in that. You know what the word means, to delight, to find pleasure in, to enjoy, to find fulfillment in. Boy, I want delight in my relationship with God. And when we do delight ourselves in Him, He'll give us our desires. He'll bless us and give us what we need. Again, I've said before, but so often we'll seek to please man instead of God. And when you please God, the opposite, you will please, inevitably, you will please everyone you're supposed to please in your life. Not everyone in your life, everyone you're supposed to please, right? There's a lot of people you can't please. And no matter how hard you tried, no matter how hard you've pushed forward in that relationship, maybe it would be with a child or a spouse or something, you just can't please them. And when you please God, number one, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, what happens? You'll begin to please, this is an inevitable thing, everyone you're supposed to please. Isn't that wonderful? And you please the people God wants you to please. And you think about this, are you desiring, one, Him? Are you delighting in Him? Delight yourself. Where do you find enjoyment? Where do you find pleasure? Where do you find excitement? Oh, my friends, today, I wish these folks, they would get excited about the things of God. I think they're so lost. They're so lost in sin. They just have, a lot of people just have no clue, do they? They have no clue who God is. They have no clue what the inside of a Bible looks like. I mean, really, I talked to somebody, it was probably several years ago now, but you ever read the Bible? Never have. Middle-aged person, never have. I said, you never even opened it up? Never have. Never have. There's a lot of people like that, isn't there? They just have no idea. My friends, tonight, we need to be delighting in the Lord, and we need to be returning that love to Him and then showing it to other people. Now, let me say thirdly here in this point, we need to have a longing for the presence. A longing for the presence of God. If you're there, still have your Bible open, go back to Psalm 84 if you can. Psalm 84. I want you to see this. A good verse to underline. Psalm 84. And notice he says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God, for the living God." We went through this chapter, I don't know how long ago, but we did. And we think about, he says, how I long, notice that, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You know, your flesh should be involved too. We speak often poorly about the flesh, and the Bible does as well. That carnality, that carnal mindset, but the flesh ought to cry out. Everything we are, our bodies, our soul, you know that, for the living God. Now, do we have a longing for the presence of God? And let me say, you know where you're going to find the presence of God? One of them, and the main one, is the church, right? In the church. You want to find and know the will of God? Be in church. Can you find it outside of it? Yeah, sure. Yeah. But listen, you ought to be where God wants you to be. You ought to be in your place. Notice this. Do you have a longing for the presence of God? My soul longeth. Oh, he says, yea, it fainteth. Even more than that, he says, it fainteth for the courts of my Lord. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be where God is. Do you have a longing for the presence of God? Do you delight in Him? Do you have a desire for Him? Do you seek to know Him? Do you seek to know Him? We need to know Him diligently. We need to seek after Him diligently. I'm just talking tonight about our pursuit of God. He pursues us. Isn't that wonderful? But now let's return some of that. Lord, I'll pursue You. I'll come back and pursue what You want me to pursue. Heard the story of a fellow. He left all of his money to his son. And he thought he did. He did, played a little trick on his son, and he put something in the Bible and gave his son the Bible. And the son got the Bible and said, "What in the world?" And the attorney said, "This is what your father left you." And he was so mad. He was so mad. He threw the Bible down. He said, "Good night." He had all that money and he gave me a stinking Bible. He probably gave all the money to whoever. And years went on, and he took that Bible and just threw it on a bookshelf in his house, and he went on. Years and years. And finally, this son got up into years and got into a place where he was going to have to be put into a home because he couldn't take care of himself. And someone rummaging through his stuff found this old Bible with opened up the front of it and had a note, "To my son from dad, do-do-do-do-do." And the person started thumbing through the Bible, and he found in the middle, right in the middle, he found a big old check. Had written out the entire inheritance. But now, by this time, it's no good, you know. And he thought, oh, how this guy failed to acknowledge what his father was doing, didn't he? If he would have just opened up that Bible, but there was, he reacted, first impressions, no thank you, I don't want it, I don't want to know anything about the Lord, I'd rather, right? Oh, we think about, are we longing for the Lord? Are we seeking him? Are we delighting in him? Oh, to seek him diligently, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to what? Please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we come to God, if we're pursuing God and we come to him, we must believe that he is. You're not going to pursue after something or someone that you don't believe is. What does he say? Exists. Basically, is who he said he was. Is who he says he is. Do you believe God? Do you believe Jesus Christ is eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing? Do you believe he's the very Son of God? Do you believe the promises? You see, my friend, today when we come to him and pursue him, we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, people misunderstand this. And they say what? God's dangling that carrot in front of us. Well, you almost got it. You almost got it. No, that's not our God. Those of you that have served God more than 2 weeks, you know that. He is a rewarder, isn't he? He rewards us every day of our lives. It's not peachy keen. It's not a walk in the park by any means. But we know one thing, he rewards us. You and I that seek after him, he'll reward you. You follow him, you turn off that which is distracting you from Jesus Christ in your walk and pursuit with him, and you give yourself to him, and you focus in on Jesus Christ this week. Say, God, I want to love you with all that I have. I have a desire. I want to delight in you. I want to long for your presence. I want to seek after you. What happens? Oh, he gives that peace and joy inside, doesn't he? Oh, that contentment comes, that delight in him. The longer you're in the Bible, the more you're in the Bible, the more you want to be in the Bible. Isn't that true? The more you're in the Word of God, the more you want to be in the Word of God. The more you're in church, the more you have, as he says here in Psalm 84, I long to be in the house of God. You know why people don't want to come to church? Because they don't come to church. Right? That makes sense. People don't want to read the Bible. Why? Because they don't read the Bible. People mock and criticize the Bible because they don't know the Bible. And on we could go. Now, let me hurry here. To seek him, to live for him, you know that, and then to forsake all that would steal us away from him. Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Again, it's like oil and water. Don't mix, do they? To serve a holy God. Would that not upset you to know that if God, and I'm being very, very reverent here and careful what I say, but that if God were to allow such, no, you can't do that, but I let these people in, you know. You can't do all those things, but I let so-and-so do this and that. You remember growing up, your parents may have done that to with your siblings, right? Especially how many are an oldest? You're the oldest in your family. Your brother Adam is. There's Abigail over there, okay. Bella's here, right? And you remember that? Well, you didn't let me do that, but you let them, you know. And we all as parents have to be careful. I know I do that too. You didn't let them do that. Remember me? How, you know, this and that. You think about it. Wouldn't that irritate you? Wouldn't that bother you? But no. See, God is no respecter of persons, is he? He doesn't allow any unholiness. He didn't allow any sin into his presence. Well, God, you let some. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I mean, you think about them, I believe, personally, the most righteous person, I think, to ever live, you may disagree, but I think it was Moses. He had a lot of mistakes, but when he was with God, he was the only one that got to go up that mount and be with God. And I think about that. And when he messed up, what did God say? It's okay, come on. No. What did God correct him? When he messed up, when Elijah messed up, when David messed up, man after God's own heart. That was the words out of God's own mouth. Man after God's own heart. When he messed up, he had to deal with the consequences. God's no respecter of persons. And I'm saying all that to say, listen, God desires for us to put aside the things that would steal away our hearts from his love, or from our love, I should say, for him. Why? Because he's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He won't allow that in. And the ground is level at the cross. Praise God for that. We have to go forward in His way, His pursuit. Now, let me cover this next point here. Oh, okay, I must wrap it up here in the next little bit, next hour or so, okay? Just kidding. Our next point. Yeah, we got plenty of time. Amen. I like that spirit. Where am I here? We often believe. Now, notice this. Some things about this I have here that I hope will be a help to you. But there's some misconceptions about pursuing God. I know that I have them, and I know you do too as well. There's some misconceptions. Number one, let me say this. I'm the only one that struggles with my pursuit for God. We laugh because that's not true. But you know, the old adversary wants us to think that, doesn't he? We pursue God. If you're like me, man, I get, oh, yes, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to read my Bible extra overtime. I'm going to spend more time in prayer. I'm not going to look at my phone as much. I'm not going to watch motorcycle racing as much. I'm not going to watch basketball as much. Lord, and what happens by Tuesday afternoon? Oh, man. Lord, what happened? He goes, you tell me. You know, Holy Spirit, you ever pray this way in a sanctimonious way? Holy Spirit, help me. I messed up, but I should have spent more time in the Word of God. And Lord, help me. We put it back on Him, you know. Lord, you should have helped me more. Oh, help us, Lord. We're not the only one that struggles, but the adversary gets in our little ear, doesn't he? Says, boy, Tim, you're the only one struggling. Look at you. Oh, you fail. No. The truth is what? All of us struggle. And I praise God for that, because that's why we come to church together. Praise God. We know what we're going through. Amen. Number two, let me say also another misconception. The time I spend with God is boring and unfruitful. Now, that's up to us, isn't it? That's up to us. What your time is like with God. I want to encourage you. If you're getting a little stagnant and stale in your Bible reading, switch it up a little bit. Do something else. Add maybe a devotional with it. There's some phenomenal devotionals out there, aren't there? There's some people you could listen to that are phenomenal Bible teachers that'll help in your Bible study. I was telling my wife, I read the Old Testament backwards like this. No, just kidding. And to read your ABCs, say your ABCs backwards. Have you seen that when they pull over a guy for DWI or something? And the guy goes, I couldn't do that sober. That's hard to do. All right. But I started back all the way to the back. Malachi. I read Malachi and then I went back. I went this way. I don't know if that helped me at all, but I don't know. I was just trying something to switch up, you know. I'm just saying, maybe sometimes you think it's a little boring. I'm trying to help our kids with that, you know, their time with the Lord. Oh, it's boring though. The Bible's boring. You got to help them out, right? Help them and encourage them with that. And you think about it, our quiet time with God is not boring. It should not be mundane. It should be some time of precious, precious worship and time with Him. The truth is, it should be the most relevant time for you and for me, shouldn't it? Most relevant time. It ought to be the most important time of your day. Oh, Lord, I'm wasting too much time praying right now. No, that's the most important time. You're wasting too much time working. You're wasting too much time making money. You're wasting too much time going here, there, and everywhere. You're wasting too much time back and forth. Now, the time should be what? With the Lord God. Relevant time of the day. Let me say thirdly, sometimes a misconception would be, it's too hard to understand. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I heard someone just say that recently. Boy, the Bible's hard to understand. No, we understand that there's something for all of us. All of us. Every time we read it, we ought to be praying this. And we just went through this in our Bible Institute. Man, and I appreciated that. About the illumination the Holy Spirit gives. Illumination. He enlightens us. Help us to understand the Bible. And you ought to be praying that. Every time you open the Bible, oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to understand it. I don't understand everything, but Lord, help me and guide me. Give me something, Lord, out of this. Okay, now we're talking about the pursuit of God. Do you have a delight in Him? Are you going after Him? David said, oh, I long for God. I go after God. I want to know more of Him. Another misconception here would be, if I start, I'll just fall and fail again. Right? Failure isn't failing. What is it? Failure is when you don't get back up, isn't it? When you fall down, all of us fall down. It's the ones that stay down. They're the ones that fail. Those of us get back up. Keep going, get back up. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep pursuing. We got a couple in our church that are newer Christians, and I've been trying to encourage them with that. Keep going. Keep focused. Keep staying in your Bibles. Keep staying in prayer time. because you know this as well as I do. The adversary is hitting them hard just as he's hitting us, and especially the newer Christians. Man, he wants to destroy and defeat them, doesn't he? He wants to discourage them and say, see, I told you not to start getting involved with that church. I told you not to get serious about your Bible reading. Look at that. Look what it's brought. No, we don't stay down. We get back up and we keep on going. Let me just remind you very kindly, I don't know, but this could be the last Sunday that we meet together. I don't know. This could be the last Sunday that all of us are here together. One of us could be missing next week. One of us could be gone home. One of us could be somewhere else, right? Oh, Miss Teresa just dealt with not only her sister, but a friend. And oh, that comes, doesn't it? We know what's going to happen. And praise God, we know where we're going. But to think about, hey, let's keep on going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as long as God will allow us. Do I spend time with Him, our quiet time of the day? Let me give one a couple more here, and then we'll wrap it up. Another misconception, I don't have time. I don't have time to pursue God. That's one that gets us. Everything's about time, isn't it? Life consists of time. Time to be born. Remember what the great preacher says in Ecclesiastes? Time to be born, time to die. Time to get up, time to go to bed. Time for the sun to rise, time for the sun to go down. Everything's a time. But he also says this is the time. This is the time. The prophet says what? Now's the time. Break up your fallow ground. It's time. Time is now. Time. Limited time. You don't have time? No. Priorities are mixed up. I don't have time? No. We have time. We have added things to our lives that have edged God out. And that's exactly what ego is. The ego. E-G-O. Edging God out, isn't it? We edge God. We've added things to our lives that have edged God out. I'm preaching to myself. We always have time for what's important, don't we? Always. People are going to do what they're going to do. People are going to do what they want to do. Isn't it funny? I find myself, I make all the time, oh, I just had just enough time today to do what I wanted to do. Praise the Lord. Right? I always have time for that. Always have time. Oh, thinking about this. Now, again, I want to encourage you with that. Are you pursuing Him? Now, we'll look at this next week, but talking about maybe some areas why we struggle in pursuing God and why we don't pursue Him like we should, and wonderful verses that we can go to, and we'll look at that next week. But I must wrap it up here in the next few minutes. And so, are you pursuing God like you're supposed to? Going after Him, following after Him, seeking Him? I read the story of the treasure hunter. He went out, given a map. Not told expressly, obviously, where the treasure was, but he went out and he searched tirelessly for a week. And the week led into 2 weeks. And he searched so diligently that he ran out of water, failed to bring enough water. He eventually ran out of his food, and he had fruits and nuts and other things that he brought with him, ran out of that. And he was so focused on the treasure, so focused. And after about 6 weeks, no one had heard from him. Put a search party out. You may have heard the story. And eventually what? The helicopter came over and they saw his tent blowing. And they landed and came down and looked inside. He was nowhere to be found. And just about 50 yards away, there was his body sprawled out. Been ravaged by the animals. Long gone. He'd been gone for several weeks. You think about it. I read that story and I thought, that's a guy who was in pursuit of something. But you know, you put it in reality today, we do that. Most of the world today is pursuing that money, aren't they? And they'll do everything they can to pursue that money. They'll do everything they can to pursue after just making it a little bit more in life, getting a little bit more advantage tomorrow, making a little bit more income next day and that day. And I'm telling you today, my friends, if we'll put in that kind of effort into pursuing God, we will not bow before His throne here very soon, as we just sang. I'll follow the footsteps of Jesus. And where does it lead? To the throne of God, doesn't it? And one day we'll come and we'll follow those footsteps and we'll look up and go, hey, Lord, it's me. We'll bow at His throne, amen? I can't wait for that day. But we will be so thankful. We followed hard, the Bible says, we'll look at next week, followed hard after Him. My pursuit for God. Can I encourage you this week? Make that number one priority. My pursuit of God this week. My pursuit of God. Lord, are you pleased with how I've been pursuing you? Ouch, that hurts me. Because I know it doesn't please him. Are you pleased, mothers, grandmothers? Is he pleased with the way you've been pursuing him? Because why? How much better that'll affect, how much more that'll trickle down onto the kids, right? Kids, are you pursuing God like you should be? Our kids over here, all of them know how to read now. They know how to understand. We've got some of our little ones that are still learning. Are we pursuing God? Falls back on parents. Am I teaching them the way it should? Fathers and grandfathers, are we pursuing God like we're supposed to? Is it number one for me? Because I need it. Kids won't, at the end of time, be looking and say, boy, glad Daddy made all that money for us. Maybe they would. But I sure think that we raise them in church. I truly believe, and they're saved, that they'll say, man, thank God, Grandma, Granddaddy. Thank God, Daddy and Mommy. They serve the Lord. They love the Lord. They prioritize the Lord in their lives. That'll be the best part, won't it? That'll mean the most to them. So my friends, this week, would you pursue God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, looking forward, focusing in on that day when we'll stand or bow before Him. Pursuing God, I'd encourage you to do that, okay? Amen. Well, Lord, thank you again for a time this evening to share your word. I know that, God, I am preaching to the choir tonight. These dear people pursue you daily. I know that. Their lives evidence that. They show it, the way they talk and what they do. I think of everyone that's here, our adults that are here tonight. They all are actively seeking people's souls. They go out. They try and represent you the best they can with the help of the Holy Spirit. They love you. We know that. They're reaching people with the gospel. They're leading their families like they're supposed to, at least as best they know how. The mothers in here and grandmothers are faithful to you. They love you. Our fathers and grandfathers, just the same. Our children, we're teaching them as they're growing and learning. That, Lord, I'm so thankful for them, their sweet spirit that they have towards the things of God. And they sit so quietly and intently and listen, so well behaved. I thank you for them. But Lord, help us, especially myself, Lord. You know my heart, and I pray you'd help us, Lord, this week to pursue you. Make that a number one priority this week. Lord, am I pursuing you? You pursued me first. I want to, Lord, come back and pursue you like I should. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray you'd bless us as we go our separate ways here this evening. Guide us now and protect us, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen.